welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach, and this is episode 166 of the Video Game Music Podcast, featuring only third and fourth generation video game music. And unfortunately, Rob is still in transition, moving to Portland. And he hasn't even moved into his place yet, but he's in Portland. And so he wasn't able to join us on this episode because he's too busy dealing with transitioning. So filling in for Rob, kind of, is a previous guest, two-time guest. This is his third appearance on the Legacy Music Hour. Filling in for Rob is Jacob Siroff.
Hello, it's kind of nice to be kind of filling in for Rob today.
Well, the reason I said kind of is because I picked all the tracks, and so if you were fully filling in for Rob, you'd be picking tracks also. And that's why I said kind of, I think.
I wasn't given the option to pick tracks. I totally would have wanted to do that.
Oh, would you?
No, I'm joking. Oh, thanks for having me.
So anyway, Jacob is going to be here hanging out and listening and commenting and the usual. So thank you for being here.
I really am excited to be here. It's fun. I had a good time the last two times I was on the show.
Yeah, and you seem like the kind of person who, I don't know, appreciates this kind of music.
Well,
and
to your list, they probably don't remember me by name, but I'm the guy with the Alex Kidd tattoo.
He has an Alex Kidd tattoo, and also the person who, when he was a kid, made friends with Sega Hotline girls and actually got to know them well enough that he and his brother met up with them and had lunch or something.
Yeah, we had lunch, yeah. And they would also give us prototype Master System games.
Yeah, Master System, yeah. And also because Rob is not here today, we're postponing the computer games episode because I felt like that was something that Rob would want to get in on because it's such an unusual topic for us. And so we'll be doing the computer games episode next month. I mean, I was really looking forward to doing the computer games episode this episode, but it didn't seem, I didn't think it'd be a good idea to do it without Rob. So next month will be computer games. And so this is just going to be another free play episode. It's free play 21, I think. And yeah, I picked all the tracks. There's 15 tracks, and yeah, I think that's about it. I don't have any top of the show business, but that's about it. So let me just... let's just jump right into it. So we're going to start things off with music from a Mahjong game. I don't know if you knew that there was a lot of Mahjong games that came out for these consoles.
I do seem to remember that, but were they released in America?
I don't think any of them
Not
were.
A single one?
I don't think a single Mahjong game came out in the United States, but they all seem to be Japanese-only releases, but there's tons of Mahjong games. We did a whole episode on Mahjong games at one point. This one's called Super Mahjong 2 Honkaku 4, it's the number 4, so whatever that is in Japanese. Honkaku 4 Nin Uchi. The music is composed by Masakatsu Mayakawa, and this is a Super Famicom game, again, a Japanese-only release. We're going to hear Title Screen. This is music from Super Mahjong 2, Honkaku 4 Nin Uchi, music by Masakatsu Mayakawa, and this is called, well, this is the title screen music.
Did it have part 2 and part 4 in the title? It's Mahjong 2, part 4?
No, I just, it's whatever 4 means, it must be a reference to something that is, it's not part 4 though, yeah. It's just, it's part 2 of this series of Mahjong games.
It's part 2, number 4?
I think the four is, I don't know what it refers to, but I don't think it's about parts though. I think it's maybe about, I don't know, actually, I just have no idea.
It's really nice.
You like it?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm feeling it. Trevor's over here dancing.
Yeah, it's nice. It's kind of jazzy, kind of funky.
Yeah, kinda, it's kind of like that Spyro Gyra.
It's kind of smooth. It's kind of smooth.
Little Yellow Jackets.
Yeah. I like how it goes, you know? And I like that. That was nice too, yeah.
That was nice how you did that, actually. Whenever it actually sounds
like,
you know, I think when video game music's done well, you know, this generation of video game music, it actually sounds like someone soloing, not like it's programmed.
Oh, you have no idea. There's actually.
Well, no, I do. That's why I just said it.
There's some tracks that are. But they actually do solos. There's actual real jazz solos in certain tracks.
It's pretty solo-y, this stuff. It's good.
This is nothing compared to, say, Pebble Beach Golf Links. That game has some serious solos. It's pretty. I'll play those after we're done recording, actually.
It's more fun than playing Mahjong, I think, listening to that song. Nobody here has played a Mahjong game?
I guess we don't know the rules. I haven't, no. I mean, I had a Mahjong set, actually.
Tile set? Mahjong?
Yeah, I did, yeah. But I never played it, though.
They should have released that stuff in America. They could have opened up a whole old Jewish lady market video games. My grandmother used to play Mahjong. You know, Jewish women in Florida love Mahjong.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you know, Jewish women in Florida love Super Nintendo.
They love it.
All right. So next up, we're going to hear from a PC Engine game. That's the Japanese version of TurboGrafx-16.
I had one that I traded it for a pager in ninth grade, though.
Oh, you had a TurboGrafx?
Yeah.
Really?
I traded it for a non-working pager. I'm sorry, it was a pager that was working, but then it stopped working because I had no idea how to pay the bill.
That reminds me of this really bad trade I made when I was younger.
Such a bad trade.
I made a horrible trade. I traded all my Garbage Pail Kids. Oh. And I had a good stack. I traded all my Garbage Pail Kids for DuckTales from the Nintendo, but not to own it, to just
borrow it
for 2 weeks.
No, that's the worst.
For 2 weeks. Meanwhile, I was giving him the Garbage Pail Kids.
That's a bad trade.
And not only did he not take good care of them, he also just took, you know, they were stickers, actually. He just took the stickers off and put them on his refrigerator.
My brother and I had every single Garbage Pail Kid and the double, and we stuck them on the side of a filing cabinet.
Really?
It was dumb.
Wow. That was such a dumb trade.
But TurboGrafx plus all the games. I had Bonk's Adventure, and I had that game.
You didn't have every...
All the games that I had. System. And I remember you had to buy that booster, that graphics booster to stick on the...
I remember
it was like
that,
another $100.
I have a TurboGrafx 16, by the way.
We should play that.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah.
What's the game it came with?
Keith Courage.
Good game. Yeah. Good music in that game, too.
It's interesting. Yeah, it reminds me of my grandma's house for some reason. And I have Bonk's Adventure, and I have another... I think I have Bonk,
Your grandma too, used to morph into a mech sometimes, I think, didn't she?
Into a what?
Into a mech.
Yeah. Well, she was, yeah.
She was a mech.
She was mech, yeah. She was the mech. This is a PC Engine game called City Hunter. This is a Sunsoft game. I don't have the composer on this, so unknown composer, but this is a Sunsoft game, and we're going to hear Mission 3 from City Hunter for the PC Engine. This is music from City Hunter for the PC Engine. This is Mission 3. I just, for some reason, had this track. I've been sitting on this track for a long time, and I just finally wanted to get it out of my system. Yeah.
I'm ready to go hunt some cities. It's like a good up-tempo. It's got like a almost like a cool EDM song or something.
That, oh, you think
I
so?
Don't like EDM, but uh-huh. I mean, if I did, that'd be the kind of song I like. I'm a lot less dancing from Trevor over here. I'll say that. He's not. I've watched. And he was, I want to make sure. Trevor's, he's like the rhythmic barometer for the. But it's got like a cool sound to it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, especially when it stops and it's just the beat with the bass.
This sort of. I don't know, almost like a hip hop beat. Yeah, at a certain point, you know.
I was thinking like some old 80s video, like when the beat stops, it's like when almost like in Beat It when there's a fight, but it doesn't sound like Beat It, but it reminds me of like it's a sinisterness to it. It reminds me of some like 80s music video with a storyline or something.
Yeah, right here. I like this a lot. Yeah.
Right there.
It's good. I don't know. That's kind of neat, I think. Yeah.
And Trevor's foot is now tapping. It's sinister though, right? It's kind of got like a meanness to it.
Yeah, I guess
it's like
so.
An edge.
Yeah.
There's like an edge to it.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of neat how it picks up too, you know. But all right, next up we're going to hear from a Game Boy game only released in Japan called Magical Tararuto Kun. And this is
part 2, part 16.
Actually, it's funny. There is going to be a part 2 coming up, actually. But this is based on a manga. And Magical Tararuto Kun. I guess Studio 401 is actually what's credited as the composer. And it seems like Yoshiki Nishimura seems to be a part of that, Studio 401. So, I don't know, Studio 401 or Yoshiki Nishimura, that's the composer. And we're going to hear Stage 3 for Magical Tararuto Kun for the Game Boy, Japan only. From Magical Tararuto Kun for the Game Boy. This is Stage 3 from composer Studio 401 or Yoshiki Nishimura or both. It's a short track, and I've had this track lined up for years. I never played it. I'm kind of getting at actually a lot of tracks that I've been sitting on for a long time out on this episode.
What is it about this one that made you select it?
I don't know. Something about it sounds kind of. I feel like nostalgic might be the wrong word, but there's something kind of.
It's got a classic sound. Something I can't. I don't know the. I don't understand music language or video game music language well enough to describe what I'm feeling, but it's got a very classic.
This sound. Part right here.
I have a question. I don't think we've done any handheld console games when I've been on the show before.
Oh, really?
So, okay. And I never had a Game Boy. I was very Sega loyal as a kid, so I had a Game Gear. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there's very little drums and percussion. Is that indicative of most Game Boy games? Was it because the speaker couldn't handle it, or is it just this track?
No,
it seems like there's not a lot of.
I mean, yeah, I guess there's not a ton of drums here. I mean, there's the little, you know, but
you know, like the Mahjong game, that had that 808 kick in.
Well, the thing with the Mahjong game is, I mean, the thing is, no, I don't think it has to do with the hardware really. I mean, there's definitely like drums and. In Game Boy stuff, but with the Super Nintendo stuff, it's all sampled sound, so they were sampling drums and you know. But actually there was a sample in the Game Boy as well. But I guess this is not a drum heavy track though. No, I think it's just this track, yeah.
definitely got a classic sound to it.
Yeah, I mean, I there's something, even just compositionally, there's something kind of classic sounding about it, I think, you know? And it's particularly the first part of it, which is this part coming up here. There's something, I don't know, something kind of almost somber about it, in a way. I don't know. It's almost like, not somber, but bittersweet. There's something kind of bittersweet about this, bro. It's just, I like that beginning part a lot, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like a bunch of things I can't play, like a bunch of games from my childhood that I can't play. I think there is a nostalgia to it, but I can't put my finger on.
Yeah, I'm saying not even just like the aesthetic, like the technical aesthetic of it. I'm
the composition.
Yeah, sounds kind of nostalgic for some reason.
The way the notes, the timing of the notes and stuff. What is it like? Triple time or quadruple time, whatever that is. Just when they're firing off like that.
Kind of a thing. Yeah. So next up, we're going to hear from the sequel to this. Actually. No, it's not quite the sequel, actually.
It's part four, part seven.
It's part, yeah, it's four, yeah. It's, yeah. It's, the, it's, this is Magical Taruto-kun 2, Maho Daiboken. And this is for the Famicom. So this is, I don't know if there was a different series that was for the Game Boy. And so, you know, because that's the case with the Castlevania games, and there was sequels to the Castlevania games on the Game Boy, but that was different than the ones on Nintendo. And so I don't know if this is actually the sequel to the game we just heard from, or if this is its own separate series from the same franchise. But anyway, unknown composer, but the developer is Tosei. And this is level music worlds 1 through 3 from Magical Taruto-kun 2, Maho Daiboken. Level music worlds 1 through 3 from Magical Taruto-kun 2, Maho Daiboken.
You had to play 3 levels before you got a new track, huh? You had to get to level 4.
Well, no, there's how the game works is there's a map, there's map music, right? And there's different music within the levels if you get certain items and stuff, and boss music, of course. But yeah, all the main level music
1 through 3 has the same.
And not just the levels, it's the worlds actually. So 3 worlds of levels have all the same main background music.
Yikes.
Which is being this one, yeah. And then it switches.
This is very interesting musically. I don't know if, again, you're a music guy, Brent, maybe you help me describe this, but it seems like the beat in the background, it's going much faster than the soloing in the foreground. It almost sounds like it's 2 different songs like mashed together that weren't in the same tempo. You know
see.
What I mean?
Let's take a listen.
It's interesting. It's not negative. See, I was like do 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 do, and then I'd be like ding ding ding. It's kind of stilted on like the piano soloing or whatever you would call that on top.
I guess I know what you mean. Yeah,
it feels like it's 2 different tempos kind of mashed together.
I wouldn't say tempos, but it's
no?
just kind of just syncopated.
Just an interesting thing I noticed about it. You know,
I like this part.
I just noticed Trevor looked confused when he was trying to dance. That's like his hands were doing one thing, but his feet were going a little faster.
I don't think that it's different. It's different rhythms. I mean, or different beats.
You don't think it's different speed?
No, almost? No. Like I mean, there's a different. I mean, I mean, yeah, that back.
Because it's so intense, and then that bing, bing, it's so relaxed.
Yeah, I mean,
on top of
there's
it,
a sort of polyrhythm cool type of situation. Yeah,
polyrhythmic.
Going,
it's
kind
polyrhythmic.
Of, kind of a thing. It's
dichotomous.
All right, next up, we're going to hear from.
Part three for Game Gear.
This is from a game called Super Bonk for the
Bonk's Adventure.
It's of the Bonk's.
There was a series of Bonk's games. We only got one here, though, right? I don't think we had sequels in America, did we?
There was definitely a sequel to on the TurboGrafx-16. Definitely, there was
a Bonk sequel.
Yeah, there was a Bonk sequel on TurboGrafx-16, and there was a Bonk game. Well, actually, there was, I think, Air Zonk, which is part of the Bonk series, came out in the United States too. Maybe, I'm not sure, but there's a lot. First of all, Bonk started on Nintendo, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a TurboGrafx came first? I thought it was an original, because that was like their biggest hit. It's the one I remember as a kid. They actually had TV ads just for that game. It was like, seemed like their biggest marketing.
Yeah, there was Nintendo versions of it. Not in the United States, but in Japan there was. It's called PC Gengen. Or BC Gengen was the name of, I think that was the first one or something like that.
I remember the TurboGrafx like one. It was different because the screen would shake. You know, when you'd bonk stuff, everything on the screen would go kind of shake. And I think that was supposed to be like innovative at the time.
Yeah. Well, there was, and then there's some on Super Famicom as well. There was one on Super Nintendo, Super Bonk. And then there was a sequel on Super Famicom. Hmm. And I have them both, actually.
The thing about this pager that I had was it like people could like, you could write hello upside down if you knew which numbers to page me on and stuff. So
it was worth
it. I didn't get the sequel to Bonk, but I had that though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
There's a bunch of Bonk games. I think how it goes is this. I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that, I don't know. I think the Bonk franchise was developed by a company called Red, I think. But I think they were somehow connected to Hudson Soft, I think, or something. And Hudson Soft, that PC, the PC Engine or the TurboGrafx-16 was their system, you know? You know, like Hudson Soft. You know the company Hudson Soft?
Right, but wasn't it? No. What was the company that made it here? TurboGrafx, it was made by a three-letter company.
Oh, you're thinking of NEC, probably?
Was that what it was, NEC?
Yeah.
I think so. I thought they made the TurboGrafx.
I think that's just a manufacturer or something like that. They put it out.
I thought it was their system, like TurboGrafx-16 by NEC.
As far as I knew, it was Hudson's system. Like I think it was Hudson Soft's system. You know, kind of like, you know, it was them trying to make a system that to take off.
Wasn't,
you know,
the game Wonder Boy called Hudson's Island or Adventure Island?
Yeah, there's some weird information about that too.
Was that Hudson? Is that because of Hudson Soft?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Again, I mean, I don't know exactly, but Wonder Boy is definitely the same game as Hudson's Adventure Island, and yeah, Hudson's Adventure Island is a Hudson Soft game.
And they were both based on Moscow and the Hudson with Robin Williams.
That was based on Midnight Train to Moscow with Billy Crystal.
That's true.
And that was based on Dark Crystal, the Muppet movie.
Right, and that was based on something with dark in the title that I can't think of.
Darkman.
Yeah, it was based on Darkman. Darkman 2 with Arnold Vosloo.
And then, so anyway, I don't really know exactly. I used to know how that worked out with Hudson and Bonk and Wonder Boy and everything and NEC, but I kind of forgot. But I can try to
Wonder
look
Boy
it up.
Is, and, no, that's, I don't want to derail the show, but Wonder Boy is interesting. Also, the sequel they put out, Wonder Boy Monsterland, that had nothing to do with the first game.
Yeah, I know. There's actually a bunch of Wonder Boys, and they don't seem.
None of them have
the
any. Like
game.
One, he's like a little dude on an island with the grass, with a leaf skirt. And the next one, he's like a knight collecting jewels.
Fighting
dragons.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is Super Bonk. Came out on the Super Nintendo, and this game just has a ton of great tracks. The music is composed by Masaki Nishizawa, Keiji Ueki, and Kenosuke Suomura. And we're going to hear In the Clouds. And again, this is music from Super Bonk for the Super Nintendo. ¶¶
This track is called In the Clouds. It's from Superbonk. This is music composed by Masaki Nishizawa, Keiji Ueki, and Kenosuke Suomura.
That's the jam, though. It's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of? You know, there's those two 70s kind of disco-y songs that kind of sound alike. One of them is You Got the Best of My Love. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think, is that Something in September song. Oh. There's two that you have to hear, like, when they start. Do you know what I mean? Do either of you know?
I know that song.
But there's there's two that always, people always mix up. One of them is You Got the Best of My Love. And I think the other one's that, I forget the name of it, Something in September. It sounds like it's like a third.
Oh, really? One
like,
of those? Yeah.
Like a third addition to that trilogy.
Yeah.
It's got like a real kind of like fun, like 70s kind of. Yeah. Kind of like,
to me, it straight up reminds me of
Steely Dan or something. Like.
It reminds me of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
actually,
really?
Straight up, actually.
No, but you know what else? It's like Steely Dan, Peg, a little bit.
Oh, you think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love Peg. I
mean, yeah, she's great.
Oh, it's in the bass. Oh no, there's a bass part that's funny that when we get back to it.
What's your favorite foreign movie?
It reminds me of Sonic the Hedgehog Starlight Zone, kind of, you know? If you remember Starlight Zone.
I don't remember that specific track, but yeah. I beat that game.
It's kind of got a date night kind of sound to it, you know?
Yeah, I really could like legit dance to this. Like if you put it on it like on at a club over a loudspeaker, I think people would really get down to this.
Listen to the bass coming up in a second. It's kind of...
disco.
Yeah, yeah. I think the bass is in this part. That's good. Listen to the bass right here. Ba-da-dum. I like that.
It's like some summer fun, or you know?
No, it's like it's in a night out on the town.
Yeah, like now in the town, but like a hot summer night.
Yeah, hot summer
maybe
night.
Maybe you spend all day on the beach. Then you're cruising back into town and maybe hit the club with your friends, you know?
Yeah.
This is the song you play like in a convertible.
It's a hot date, hot night.
Hot night, hot. It's like hot bonk nights, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's fun. Rob and I kind of came up with this term to describe good stuff, which is if it's bonk, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that track is bonk. You know? It's like the opposite of bunk, kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that track is bonk.
This is hella bonk. It just sounds like a lot of things I already like.
Yeah, it's got that. It's reminiscent of that stuff. Yeah,
and like, and also that Steely Dan kind of like that.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Like I feel like this song has lyrics. We just can't hear them.
I mean, feel free to sing along if you got them. If you can figure something out.
I don't know if that's my forte. Went to the beach. Now we're heading into a club in the convertible. Hot bonk nights. Feels so right.
All right.
I didn't think anything was going to beat the Mahjong song for me.
Oh, really?
As far as just like...
So this is your favorite track so far?
Maybe I'm judging on real world listenability. If that's probably... I don't know. Hope that's not insulting to the hardcores. But I mean, what I would like... What a person who's not specifically into this music could actually just like... groove to like in the car or like on a dance floor, like that's for real. Yeah, that's for real stuff.
Yeah.
Less esoteric than some of the other stuff.
Well, it's not as I mean it has a familiar sound.
Accessible.
Definitely.
I want to access it.
So next up we're gonna hear
actually
from...
can I I'm not joking, will you send me that track?
Like, yeah, of
email
course.
Me that.
Yeah, sure.
I'll get that on my iPod. I want to get out in a club somewhere and like slip that to the DJ and just like see a bunch of like young people like actually partying and like
that's my dream, by the way.
But just get that one track and I think you could trick them with that track. You know, you could trick them and they wouldn't even know it was a video game track.
That's
like, oh, what's this?
That's my.
Is this the new Katy Perry? But she's, you know, she didn't start singing yet. Or?
That's my dream. Is to DJ at a club that's not, you know, not necessarily, you know, like whatever. It's just a random club, but you know, has good dance music and play. You know, Genesis, Super Nintendo tracks, and even Nintendo tracks if it works, but not, and it be,
but
and
you
just
can't
and
throw,
not tell them.
You
know?
Can't throw those, you can't put in those Game Boy style ones.
I know what you mean. You mean the 8-bit ones,
it's
right?
It's got
a 16-bit sound.
No, I meant that specific one that you played.
Oh, yeah.
It just, that's good,
no,
but it's not.
Something dancey.
Like, not being negative about that. That was
no,
really good.
But
I mean, like,
something
dancey.
No, but something dancey.
Right. I wish I could help you get that playlist together because I feel like.
Oh no, I have some. Good, I got some good tracks.
I go out dancing and stuff, like, and I have a good gauge. I think.
No, but, I know that's the dream though, to play the stuff for the people and then just dance to it and think this is good music.
Yeah,
what
right.
is this?
And then be like, surprise!
From a video game. Yeah.
Hey, have you done an episode of like Club Bangers?
Well, we put out yes, in a way, we put out dance mixes. So Rob and I have these. We just compile just. No talking, just all, just, it's
no,
just
no, but
dance
I mean,
mixes.
An episode of the show where all, the theme was all songs that could be danced to by non-fans in the real world.
Well, I mean, the idea is
like
that,
this could be
that's
on
the
there.
Idea behind the dance mixes, is that you would play these at a club,
right.
You know, yeah. But, yeah. All right.
I'm sad to move on.
Maybe there'll be something that beats this, you know, beats that or whatever. So far your top runners are Super Mahjong 2 and
I'm keeping a private, like a dance rank list. Mm-hmm. It's not about quality or being negative or anything like that.
All right. So next up, we're going to hear from G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
How many G.I. Joe games were released?
I only know of two that were on the Nintendo. There's the G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, and this one, the Atlantis Factor. And this game has a ton of great tracks. I played pretty much all of them, except for this one. This is level 5 and 6, Snow Mountain. And the composer on this is Yusuke Takahama. This is music from G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor. Music from G.I. Joe, the Atlantis Factor. This is level 5 and 6, Snow Mountain. And this is from composer Yusuke Takahama. I like this part right here. And I like this part coming up too, right here. That part's cool right there.
That's a cool part, for sure.
That's a cool part. And actually, and the bass is doing some cool stuff too, actually. If you hear the bass, I think it's coming up around here. There was that
the percussion that started off the track was pretty cool too.
Oh yeah, you want to hear that again?
Yeah. That was tight. But this kind of has a feel to me like a rock album where they have an instrumental track and it's like a lot of soloing and stuff.
Oh, okay,
it gives me a feel like at first I was thinking,
well, you know what, it does have a little bit of a baroque kind of feel to it, which sometimes like a metal kind of thing
exactly.
would do that kind
exactly
of thing.
Like
when
rock guys playing like chamber music
I
type
know
of
what
thing
you mean.
It's got that feel to it, but like it's like classical soloing or something almost.
I know what you mean.
I noticed you even kind of conducting.
Well, I was just I was going along
with the beat, but I mean instead you were it's like a
this part right here though, you know. I conducted it. I love that part right there, and then this part right here is like that part's cool, right?
Do you know? Do you remember the game? Did anybody play?
I haven't played it. No.
I wonder if you got to play as Alpine on the snow part.
G.I. Joe was a thing that I never was into.
You weren't into
G.I.
Joe?
No, because it looked like it was a boring theme for me because it was military related, and when I was younger, I thought military stuff seemed boring. And so
even with robots and like half
it just,
snake people,
you know,
and
even the art style just didn't appeal to me at the time. It just seemed too mature.
Were you into
like
Transformers?
That. Yes.
Because there was just so they were so peas in a pod that they used to come on right back to back.
No,
after
but
school.
The cool thing about Transformers is that they could turn into stuff. I thought that was cool that they could transform and
but
do stuff.
But yeah, they shot lasers and there was all the different characters.
Yeah, but it was so military.
It was military, but it was barely military because a lot of the guys had their own outfits that weren't militaristic, like Shipwreck and a sailor outfit, which is sort of militaristic.
It just seemed too. I think it was too like manly for me or something.
Pretty manly,
like that.
But they had some really hot girls too.
Really,
Scarlet, Lady J. Cover girl.
I don't even know that there were girls on G.I. Joe.
Like,
actually.
Really good looking ones.
It just seemed
and
like
there was like sex on G.I. Joe.
Really?
Like sex but implied sex. Like Destro and the Baroness were having an affair. Hmm. Remember one time they got caught kissing and like Cobra Commander was like zoomed in on like some video camera and he's like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're like, "Oh, she had something in her eye."
Hmm.
But they were like got caught making out.
That's interesting. Huh?
Like with it was kind of felt edgy to me as a kid.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I was just turned off by the theme. I just didn't want to. It seemed like a boring theme to me for some reason. Transformers I like Thundercats, you know. I guess I liked stuff that was a little more
fantastical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
G.I. Joe's as military goes, it's pretty fantastical. But I
see
what you mean.
I guess so. But I never really looked into it too hard because I just saw military. I was like,
it's funny. You know what? I felt like that about MASH. Like something I know it was probably a great
show.
Never watched it because it just seemed boring because the army element.
It's supposed to be the greatest show ever, right?
Everyone says that, but I guess the army element kind of bored me too.
Yeah,
it seems depressing.
Yeah. I've seen the movie MASH.
I haven't seen it.
Robert Altman.
I had some mashed potatoes today.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. True story.
Next up, we're going to hear from this is a Genesis game, Sega Genesis game, called Final Zone. This is music composed by Motoi Sakuraba. And we're going to hear the track called City Gate, which is stage 4 and bosses 1, 2, 5, and 6. So,
but they use the same track for a stage, and then they recycle that for 4 different bosses spread out over the game.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess
on Genesis too.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, City Gate from Final Zone, music by Motoi Sakuraba. This is music from Final Zone from composer Motoi Sakuraba. This is City Gate stage 4 and bosses 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Definitely has a boss feel to it.
Oh, you think
so?
The
speed and the intensity.
Mm.
There's like an urgency to it. You know? Some really cool stereo action. We're both
There's some stereo.
Some nice
some
if
stereo
you listen
action.
On headphones. Yeah, some nice stereo action on it. And that like bassy, it's not really bass, the piano, like but like the baritone-y piano keys.
I like this part a lot right here.
Right.
Dude. But I think what would have been cool is there's a harmony going on. It would have been cool if they did a harmony on the other side. Like they split it into both the left and right sides. Yeah.
Where's the part I like? Definitely got a nice build to it. Builds.
Yeah, my.
There's that. That's that left ear.
Yeah. I like this part a lot here.
Dun, 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 dun.
like the harmon the harmonizes there. I mean, to me, that actually has a very classic video game sound to it. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
I don't remember the game. Was it? Was a Genesis game? American?
Yeah,
game?
Yeah, it came out.
Was it manufactured by Sega or was it third party? Was it designed by Sega? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, if it was Motoyo Sakuraba, I would imagine it was like. I don't think it was a Sega game. No. Next up, we're going to hear a Super Famicom game called Tarot Mystery. It's a tarot reading game. I don't even think it's not really even really a game. It's a tarot reading experience.
Maybe it was like about more like a Pee Wee Herman situation where some guy got his tarot cards read and that sent him on an adventure.
Oh, well, yeah, could be. But I think...
Probably not.
But, you know, there's a tarot game that I actually own. It's, not a game exactly, but...
What would you do with it, though? Just
Taboo the Sixth Sense.
Yeah, Taboo the Sixth Sense. I have it for Nintendo.
What's the objective or
you
nothing?
You ask questions about your life, and it tells you... It kind of
so there's
reads,
not much
it
you
reads
can do
your,
except...
It reads your cards, basically.
So what's the interact? You just get your reading? And there's
yeah,
nothing
you get
to do
reading.
With it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Just get a reading.
And it's crazy to me. The game, it's not a game, but I mean, the thing just lasts at most 10 minutes, I think, or it's
really?
Like 5 to 10 minutes. And that's it. And I can't imagine that was sold for that much
yeah,
money, right?
Weird.
Because it's a 5 to 10 minute experience. And I have it, actually.
Maybe it's something you're supposed to wake up and do every morning. Like, you know, they were, you know, they try to like branch out where the system could be used for things that weren't games. You know, like, didn't they try to put out like. Day planner kind of cartridges
well, I mean,
and stuff
the,
like
there
that.
There was the aerobics game,
right?
You know, there was an aerobics game, the dance aerobics
did
game.
Did you ever play
Power Pad on Nintendo?
Did you ever play Magic 8 Ball for Atari Jaguar?
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. No, that's basically what it is, though. So Taboo the Sixth Sense, that was the one on Nintendo. This one is a Japanese only release called Tarot Mystery. I think it's the same thing. Basically,
it's a mystery though. Is it going to be creepy?
This track?
Is it creamy?
No, it's actually very creamy. It's very new agey, actually. It's a real...
That makes sense also.
Yeah, totally. So this is actually a recommendation.
Like so many jokes. Are just like a meditation game.
Right.
A yoga game.
Or they just play meditative music
and
or
you
something
just,
like
yeah,
that.
You just, yeah, you just... You push button A to clear your mind.
This is a recommendation from user Slick Vic. So, I heard this track and I thought, oh yeah, this is good. And it's very new agey too. We're going to hear Playing the Card Game Tarot. And, the composer on this is Yasuaki Fujita, who did the music to Mega Man 3 from the Nintendo. And, it's possible that his wife worked on it as well, Harumi Fujita. So, but I wasn't able to confirm that. So I'm just going to, in the track listing, put Yasuaki Fujita. So this is Playing the Card Game Tarot from Tarot Mystery for the Super Famicom. Listening to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is John T. Liberto. No, I'm just kidding. Did you ever listen to that show, Musical Star Streams?
Or was that a KCRW show or something?
It was. I think it was in the Bay Area they played it.
No, I don't remember.
It was like a new age show.
I listened to your show once, though. Remember?
Oh, on accident.
On accident.
Before I knew you. Right, yeah. That's interesting. So this is Tarot Mystery for the Super Famicom. This is called Playing the Card Game Tarot, and it's composed by Yasuaki Fujita. This is I like this
it's
track
cool.
a lot.
Yeah, I give it 2 cups.
Two cups?
No, it's a tarot joke. Oh. That's interesting. I thought it was going to sound more kind of... When I think of tarot, I think kind of like it's spooky and there's skeletons and kind of some morbid imagery. But you're right, it sounds way more New Agey. What it reminds me of is like a 80s cop movie or something. Like some Tangerine Dream.
Oh, yeah,
like almost
yeah,
like,
totally. It totally
or Manhunter.
Yeah, it totally
or some like 80s. Kind of 80s.
Actually, you know who it's...
Someone driving, you know, with a helicopter shot with a cop driving to the next...
No, I totally... I thought 80s actually kind of remind me of even a Blade Runner feel
yeah,
to
yeah,
too.
Totally Blade Runner. Tangerine Dream. Yeah.
Wait, did Tangerine Dream do Blade Runner
yeah.
as well? Oh, yeah, it's Vangelis. Yeah, it's Vangelis. Yeah.
Wait, you sure Tangerine Dream didn't do anything with Blade Runner?
They did Sorcerer.
Well, they did Legend also, uh-huh. right?
But they no, it was Vangelis though, or Vangelis or whatever. Yeah. But about this track though, it also really reminds me of Mark Isham. Does anyone, Mark Isham?
What's refresh my memory?
Well, the track that he's really known for is this track called "Men Before the Mirror," I think it's called. It's a classic kind of, you know, electronic '80s electronic kind of new age kind of track. You know. Anyway. It's good.
Yeah, Legend, Risky Business, Sorcerer, Thief. I knew they did Michael Mann stuff. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I messed up on the Blade Runner thing. Vangelis, thank you.
But, I like this. To me, that sounds like that melody there makes me think of the future of the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
a futuristic world of yeah. the 80s, kind
Absolutely.
Of, you know? I love this right here. Good right here. This is nice coming up right here.
I like the reset. Right there. Like the hard reset.
Uh-huh. But that kind of, I don't know, lower plucking noise. That to me is so Mark Isham right there. I don't know, there's a lot of cool...
It also sounds like, ads for Dianetics in the 80s.
No, sure, yeah, yeah.
Like,
which is good music.
Yeah. How does a reactive mind work? Page 436.
Oh, yeah, right. I remember those, yeah. Man, this... Actually, the more I hear this track, the more I like it. It's just good. Oh, hold on. I just... One thing I do want to isolate with this is...
What was the system again? I'm sorry.
Super Nintendo, Super
yeah,
Famicom. It was a Japanese only release.
Very crisp. Very crisp.
So let's try to find. I just want to hear this part only. So this right here is just so, like, cool. This is cool.
Wait,
right here.
Were you able to isolate that?
Yeah.
Wow, you have it split in tracks?
I could split it up. There's a lot of cool sounds in this. I just wanted to isolate it because it's cool. Oh yeah, even just the percussive noises are cool. They have this echoey kind of.
I wonder if those games ever gave you like a negative reading, you know?
Well, no. Sometimes they do.
No,
I
think.
Like.
I mean, but because it's probably random. I mean, I don't know the programming of the game, but like tarot cards, they'll say pretty morbid stuff sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that was the thing about Taboo.
That's a good part, yeah, right?
The game that I have, it's not a game, but whatever, the cartridge I have, Taboo, The Sixth Sense, there's actually, as I recall, there's actually nudity on some of the cards, actually. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I mean, you know, it's you know, it's very, it's drawn, you know, I mean, it's not like, it's not crude.
What was the
know?
Game where, I guess, wasn't there like a strip poker game, too, that you could get, like...
Oh, well, there's adult games that were... You know, unlicensed games, you know, that came out, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I like this track a lot. Anyway, it's a good track.
It sounds like vocals almost.
Yeah.
I guess that's
yeah,
the idea.
A little bit, yeah. I think it just sounded more like some kind of synth.
No, the kind of. Oh,
yeah, no, I heard that. Yeah. I mean, All right, so we're going to move on to another Super Famicom game. This is called Shinseki Odyssalia, I think. Part two.
Oh, so we should listen to one and two consecutively. Sorry. Come on, Gabe's laughing.
And by the way, this game, along with Final Zone, were Darren Deluxe recommendations as well. The composers on this game are Fumito Tamayama and Shigenori Masuko. And we're going to hear King of Dragon 2, which means I think it's the second theme of it. It's not like the sequel. This is music from Shinseki Odessala. Yeah, something like that. Shinseki Odessala 2 for the Super Famicom here on Legacy Music Hour. Yes.
King of Dragon?
King of Dragon 2, or maybe it's King of Dragons, actually. Maybe I just forgot to type the S. It might be King of Dragon, or it might be titled King of Dragon 2. All right, here we go. One last thing. This is more of an orchestral track. So if you were looking for something dancey, this is not really a dancey track.
I think I got what I need. Dance wise.
So this is more of an orchestral kind of cinematic sound.
I don't know what you're planning to close with, but maybe
go out with a bang.
Go out with a club bang. Yeah.
Well, you'll see. Got something to come out with. All right. Here we go. This is King of Dragon 2 from Shinseki Odessala 2 for the Super Famicom. This is music composed by Fumito Tamayama and Shigenori Masuko.
What's really cool about this is, and I think this is true a lot of these of the Japanese composers, is that it's very reminiscent of like medieval fantasy kind of dragon. It's like this part here. Mm-hmm. Sounds very like dragony and medieval and like high fantasy, mm-hmm. but then when it gets into kind of the, I don't know what you call it, the breakdown, or it sounds more then it kind of like Japanese pop music or like karaoke, like it's funny how they kind of.
Well, it's funny you say that because I don't really feel that way about this track, but
you don't.
But Nobuo Uematsu, who's kind of one of the most famous video game composers, he does all the Final Fantasy music, or he did.
But,
he would do that.
This sounds like pop.
I think this still to me sounds pretty. This sounds to me still pretty. You know, regular, like kind of cinematic kind of stuff. But see, what
seems like less medieval than the part leading up to it to me.
Oh,
like this sounds more like traditional modern music. or like, you know, the kind of music that pop singers sing in anime movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, no,
but then the first part sounded very like, well,
I mean,
Renaissance-y.
What I was gonna say is that in the Final Fantasy games, Nobuo Uematsu kind of mixes, he mixes orchestral kind of cinematic kind of style music with dancey kind of disco-y kind of stuff, you know, or rock stuff. And I and what you described earlier made me think of that, you know. But this one, I feel, to me, seems more just cinematic all the way through, actually.
My untrained ears picked up on something, though, right? Uh-huh. From the same guy?
No, not the same guy.
Oh, I thought this was the same guy.
No.
Oh,
no.
I see.
I like this note coming up right here. It's good. Yeah, you know, the second time it goes through this track, it adds these cellos to it, basically. You know, I don't know if you noticed that second way time through. But anyway, I mean, we don't have to sit through. Well, here, I'll just scoot forward a little bit here. Listen to how, after it's gone through, it starts over again, there's these cellos that come in, or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not cellos.
It's
they're
more like
baritone. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
I think it would... Would that be a cello? Or would that, but yeah, that's...
It's not, I guess not cello.
That is
it's
cool.
A, it's like
dark.
That's cool how that comes in. What?
Double bass.
Yeah, double bass. That's right. Double bass.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Double bass in my double face.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Bass in your face?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's
double
cool.
Bass, double
yeah,
face.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let me explain.
No. I mean, I yeah. Well, actually, I liked that I didn't understand what it meant.
That's
actually.
What I meant.
Oh, okay.
You ruined it.
Okay. So next up, we're going to hear from the Super Nintendo again. This is from a game called Dino City, which I don't know if you remember. There was, I think, a movie that was... this is based on a movie, I think.
There's actually a movie called Dino City?
Yeah, or I don't think it's called Dino City. I think that the game is called Dino City, but I think the movie's called something else.
I think it was Tender Mercies.
Mm, yeah, maybe. I think it was Terms of Endearment.
Yeah.
That's what... Yeah. And the composer on this is Hiroshi Kimura, and we're going to hear Rex's theme. And I played a track from this in the past. I think it was on it was a movie episode, and that was such a good track. And it's been a while since we've heard from this game, and this track also has that kind of sound.
It's been a while since we've heard from this game. I love it.
It's true, and it's the. And this kind of has that sound. I think it's about... I think I hadn't played this track for a while because it maybe sounded a little too similar to the track that I played that while back. But it's a totally different track. But anyway, I think the time
can,
is
Can we
right
assume
for
that Rex is T-Rex?
If it's a dino? I'd imagine it
is. Because we went from
yeah.
King of Dragon.
Yeah. To
Rex.
King of Rex.
Rex.
King of Dinosaur. Yeah. King of Dinosaur Rex.
The King of Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Exactly. Two.
Yeah, two, yeah. So, all right, this is music from Dino City for the Super Nintendo.
This is music from Dino City for the Super Nintendo. This is Rex's theme from composer Hiroshi Kimura. And, you know, you're talking about crisp sound. This is, to me,
the
sound design on this is really good. It's very crisp.
Lots of good stereo action on the headphones.
Good stereo action, but also the samples are really good, too, I feel like. They're very clear and
punchy. It's bonk. It's bonk.
This track is bonk, for sure. It's funny. It makes sense, too, because
it's medieval. Yeah, prehistoric.
Yeah.
What is it about these prehistoric tracks that just thump? But it's really groovy too.
Yeah.
That part.
Yeah, the percussion's good on this.
Yeah.
You know? Here comes some good right there to the right. Then there's gonna be the left right here.
I picture like if this was live. There'd be like one of those guys that's kind of just, I don't even know what you call him, doesn't play an instrument, but he just like rattles stuff around and like, you know, pulls out a tin can and bangs on it.
Percussionist.
I guess that's a percussionist. Yeah. But I think a percussionist is more like drums and drum related things.
Well, no, that'd be the drummer.
Thanks, man. No, but you know, like a, almost like a prop guy, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's a percussionist.
Yeah. But the guy who does the slap.
Yeah, that kind
slap,
of stuff.
The wood slap thing, you know? Anyways, it's a fun track, you know? This
super fun.
Good sound design. Oh, yeah, the beginning of this track is, too, is interesting also. I like that.
Yeah.
That bass hit.
Me too.
Boom. That's cool. Good track.
Upbeat too.
Yeah, upbeat.
Feels
yeah.
happy. It's a happy.
It's fun. It's
happy.
Fun. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah.
Uplifting.
Feels good. It's uplifting. Yeah. next up, we're gonna hear from a Sega Genesis game called Warrior of Rome. And
I remember this game.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
I believe I had it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was. I mean, you did like different Roman games and stuff, right?
I don't know.
I don't think it was a side scroller. I think it was like you did.
I think it's a war game, actually.
I thought you. Can we look it up? I feel like there was a Rome game where you did a chariot and you did, you know, different things. Like different.
I'm almost sure it's not a chariot game. Here, yeah. Look it up while I'm saying that.
Warrior of Rome?
Warrior of Rome for the Genesis. But it's. I think it's a war game, and I think Julius Caesar is involved, I think, or something like that. I think it's...
No, you're right. It's like a populist kind of strategy.
Yeah, it's a war strategy game that
but there
is
was a, game like,
a historical war strategy game.
Someone, one of your listeners will know, there was a game that was more like Roman events, and maybe it wasn't the right system. But I'm looking at images now.
So the composers on this are Pirata.
I do remember this cover, though.
Oh, do you really?
Remember it?
Oh, yeah. Was that supposed to be Caesar or something?
I suppose it looks very familiar.
So these are all aliases, by the way. But Pirata is one composer. Kappa is another one, or Kappa. I don't know. Sasa and Key and Tacky Pop. So those are all those are the composer aliases on this game. I don't know what they're... I tried to look it up. I couldn't find who they actually were or are, but
I was thinking of this and I'm wrong. Sorry, there's a game Centurion, Defender of Rome, but it doesn't. That's which is the game I'm thinking of, but it didn't. It was Electronic Arts, which I was gonna say. I thought that when you this one was Electronic. I'm sorry, but it looks like it was a similar strategy game.
Well, anyway, so Warrior of Rome from Pirata, Kappa, Sasa, Key, and Tacky Pop. We're gonna hear On to Syria. And, here it is. Oh, yeah? You have something to say?
Oh, no. You can play. I just found the Centurion game. There were, like, chariot races
different things. Yeah.
This is the game I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Centurion,
yeah.
Sorry.
I just want to make sure, though, like, you heard all those aliases, though?
No, I was looking at Centurion.
Oh, I think you would have appreciated them. You know?
You don't want...
I repeated them twice, mainly for you, but I'll tell them to you again.
Tell me when the... Yeah.
I'll just tell it to you again right now. You ready? Pirata... These are aliases for the composer.
For the composer, okay. Why do they have aliases?
They just use aliases sometimes, you know. A lot of times, most of the time actually.
Pirata, Kappa, Sasa, Key, and Tacky Pop. Tacky Pop in particular.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Anyway, on to Syria.
That little part. that was epic, man.
Yeah, it's a long track. It ends.
We could have actually gone to Syria in that time. I think that was a long track. It didn't loop at all, huh?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't literally loop.
It doesn't loop.
It ends. I'll start it off again. And this track really. First of all, I like this riff. You know, this is a good riff, and I like how it comes back. But. This track. Oh well. First of all, again, this is.
Where would this be in the game? Like in the background of playing.
To me, it seems like some sort of. Like it would be in between. Intermission.
Yeah,
or something
so I
like
so
that.
I felt, but
yeah,
it's so long. Yeah. How could it be? But it felt like
maybe it was some kind of cutscene or something. You know. But so this is Warrior of Rome for the Sega Genesis. Music composed by Pirata, Kappa, Sasa, Key, and Tacky Pop. And this is On to Syria, and this track reminds me of 70s electronic music, kind of. It really reminds me of Synergy, and
I was so in the like Roman mindset, maybe because we had talked about it, and I googled the other Centurion game, and I'm just picturing boats like going to Syria. I was in full Roman adventure mode. I was hearing it through that filter, so I didn't think of.
Oh, really?
It's funny because all the other tracks, I feel like I come back and go, this is what it sounds like compared to real life or non-video game music stuff. And in this one, I was just in the I was in the zone.
I really like this part right here coming up. This is the part that reminds you of the 70s electronic music, kind of. I mean, this sounds like Synergy, actually.
And it got real loud at the end, and you guys didn't turn it up.
No,
That's just in the track.
It's in the track, yeah.
I don't know how long we'll discuss this, but I'd like to hear that end part again.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll just talk it out until we get there, yeah. But I like this part a lot, too. This is actually just totally electronic music, 70s style, yeah. Kind of. Synergy style, at least.
Showtime Synergy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this track has kind of almost movements to it, you know?
Yeah, it feels like almost like an end credits. Like it's long, and you know, like it's a kind of long orchestral piece.
Like
I don't even mean in a game, like in a movie. It would be the kind of orchestral piece.
Right.
After they play the song, like a more traditional song vocals, and they go into the score.
This would be like a
credits rolling.
It's
kind
of
a... What if it's the end of the game? It just kind of feels like a...
It could... Maybe it is.
Feels like resolution.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is the end of the game, actually.
Oh,
well, this part sounds like it, though. But then the other parts of the track sound more like some action. They're moving on. They're about to do some action, you know? Mm.
Yeah, but it kind of sounds like we won already, you know?
Kind of.
Like, but there's a piece. There's a piece to it.
Onto Syria.
Yeah, just kick it. You know, Syria's a nice place to visit after you do some conquering. Back then.
I mean, that's
yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
We won. Now on to Syria to chill.
I think it's coming up right here. Here it comes. I like this part.
Yeah. Okay, here it comes. It ends real cool with those little drums. So good. I don't know why that's so good. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, all right. Moving on to another Sega Genesis game, Biohazard Battle. This is music composed by Kenichiro Isoda, credited in the game as KNU. And we're going to hear stage 2 and 6.
Is it KNU or is it new?
It's K period N period U. Stage 2 and 6 from Biohazard Battle. Music from composer Kenichiro Isoda, This is stage 2 and 6 from Biohazard Battle.
It's cool sounding, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got that weird.
I like when it breaks down and there's a. It's just the drums. Mm-hmm. But when it's just, I guess it's that bass or drums. When it's like. Doop, doop, doop.
Yeah, I think. Maybe it's just the drums.
Will it come back? Or?
Yeah.
Wait.
But it's also got this weird, like.
Little splat sounds in the
sounds.
Back.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like, that's
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Right here. Let's talk. Boink, boink. But yeah, it's an interesting choice to leave those in.
I like how the. The kind of repeating riff kind of comes back in too. You know?
At the end, it really sounds right. Like.
And listen to how that the splat noises or whatever kind of come in here. Right here, hold on. It's neat how they kind of fade in almost, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of just an interesting track.
Can you know? Isolate the splat?
Yeah.
Let's get that splat. It sounds like water drops. I guess. I like splat though.
Wow, so weird. Okay, so this is just the PSG right here.
This kind of tickle your ears.
It does.
It's like
it?
You can feel it on your ears.
Right.
You guys feel that? It's like you can feel the movement on your ears. That's great, actually.
The bass is kind of interesting, too.
Yeah. Sounds like Untouchable soundtrack. A lot going on.
Yeah.
A busy track, but it doesn't sound busy when it's all together, really.
Yeah.
Sounds clean. So crazy when you isolated the splat, how it like got really, really like, what's the word for touchy? I mean, like it.
Sensitive?
Sensitive.
Sensitive.
But like, no, but like, you could really feel it like pounding your ears. Sensual?
Tangible? Tangible or something? Is it? Touch, yeah.
When you got just a splat on, like, I mean, it was almost like fingers poking your ears, and
tickling your ears.
I wonder if that would, yeah. I wonder if your listeners will be able to do that, put on earphones and experience that.
I think they will.
Get those ears tickled, guys.
Do you hear that? It's like, get those ears tickled, guys, and then it's like, dun 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 dun. All right.
That was fun. That was a fun track.
Next up, we're going to hear from another Sega Genesis track. This is from Heavy Nova. And the composers on this are, again, these are aliases, except for one of them. Doesn't seem like an alias. Shaka, Studio River Kids, and T. Ijima. And the Studio River Kids might just be Shaka and T. Ijima's, but I don't really know. We're going to hear Rebel Boss 2-1 Garo SX D07RR. I think that's the model type of the, I don't know, I imagine it's a robot or something like that, or a mech or something like that. So this track, to me, just totally sounds, has an 80s sound to it. But it doesn't seem like that at first, though. So, you'll see. This is music from Heavy Nova. from Shaka Studio River Kids and T. Ejima. This is Rebel Boss 2-1 Garo SX D07RR Heavy Nova is the game.
Some interesting stuff with tempo there, with the way that breakdown.
Yeah.
It's like completely just shift. It almost doesn't even fit, and then it just, but it's really cool. And then it's like not a breakdown. It slows down to a pace you wouldn't expect, and then it picks back up, but it's smooth.
This part's so 80s to me, right?
Very 80s. You know what's fun? It reminds me of, again, not to make the same comparisons over and over again, but it feels like 80s music sound. I mean, I guess that's not surprising because video game scores are a lot like movie scores, but it reminds me of like, maybe like a, I don't want to say a training montage, but maybe a main character has to go get something done. He has to drive and do something.
This reminds me of a cop movie, actually.
Oh, yeah, cop movie, or almost like Rocky, though, or something? Or like,
I'm thinking some kind of L.A. cop movie.
Yeah, I can see that,
too. This reminds me of an L.A. cop movie. I'm thinking of scenes of downtown and then Chinatown a little bit. And then there's
feels like it could be like D.C. Cab, too, though, or something, you know, like... Uh-huh. No, we're taking the cabs to the streets.
You know those opening shots to L.A. cop movies where there's just, you know, you see the sun and the palm trees and stuff, and then you see people working in downtown, like guys moving, getting boxes out of trucks and stuff, and, you know, just, I don't know, especially the part that comes up, actually, the sort of, I don't know.
Like Beverly Hills Cop 2, the cigarettes in the truck. Oh. Or was that part one?
No, that was part two. I don't know. This part right here, though. This part's so good. You gotta learn that. To play along with it, because it's
counterintuitive.
It's on. There's a lot of offbeat situations going on there. Yeah,
that's neat. Yeah, that's neat. Just for that part. Well, interesting. Like each note, there's like a little that static. It kind of follows each note.
It's well, that's cool. Just probably.
No, I think it's intentional.
Oh, you think so?
Oh yeah. Okay. What do you think? Do you know what I mean? Did you hear it?
Yeah.
There's like a little static follow-up to each note.
I mean, it could be. I don't know. Yeah.
No, because it's a clear track. It doesn't sound distortion or anything.
Yeah.
Let's get it back and see. I think it's like an artistic choice. We get that breakdown.
I love this part right here.
Fletch.
Yeah.
Fletch. Kind of reminds me of Lionel Richie, too.
It's a symbol.
Yeah,
but
it's just the symbol writing out.
It's a symbol writing out, but it's right behind it in a cool way where the symbol, it rides out longer than the note. And it lingers. Like, basically, Fletch lives, you know?
it's like a real syncopated situation there. All right, so those are three Genesis tracks in a row. We're gonna move back over to the Super Nintendo, but the Japanese only, Super Famicom. And all these four tracks, the last three tracks in this track here were all Darren Deluxe finds. This is called Lupin the Third, which is...
Lupin, L-U-P-I-N?
L-U-P-I-N,
Lupin. I didn't know they did games. I haven't seen a lot of the movies.
Oh,
it makes sense that they would do games.
Oh, there's movies.
Oh, that's... He's great. He's a big, huge movie. I mean, it's a series of movies.
It was based on a manga originally, right?
That wouldn't surprise me either, but they're really cool, like kind of...
Anime,
but like 70s and early 80s, like with... Like, it's... They're not typical... Well, for me, when I kind of was exposed to anime in the early 90s, working at Tower Video in Berkeley, and going to see anime at UC Theater, and you'd see like... most of it was sci-fi and mech stuff, and Akira was the kind of stuff we got over here. So this was just like fun, and does anyone remember? Did anyone else remember Lupin? I don't remember if he was a spy or a detective.
I think he's some kind of private eye detective.
Yeah, but he was
like
it was more like Flint or something, like in like James Co. It was this kind of globe-trotting, girl chasing kind of. It was really different than the animated scene. It'd be cool. I never saw, didn't know they made video games.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes perfect sense. Of course.
Yeah, there's this. Well, there's this at least this one game for the Super Famicom called Lupin the Third, Densetsu no Hiho o Oe, something like that. And there's an exclamation point at the end. That's why I said it like that. And I think this translates, I think, to chase the legendary treasure. So it's Lupin the Third, chase the legendary treasure. The music is composed by Hisao Ogawa, and we're going to hear a track called Broadcast. And I don't know, maybe based on the description that you kind of gave of Lupin the Third, maybe this won't fit, this won't be what you expect, I guess. But
it's not... Okay.
This has got a...
it's not going to be funky and swingy.
No. It's kind of a mellow, kind of somber track. Mm. And I like it. It's good. Broadcast from Lupin the Third for the Super Famicom. This is from Lupin the Third, Densetsu no Hiho o Oe. This is called Broadcast, and it's from composer Hisao Ogawa.
I feel like it was kind of what I would think for Lupin.
Really?
I looked it up during the track. He was a master thief, not a spy or a cop.
I see. Yeah.
But definitely like a world adventurer.
Uh-huh.
It kind of sounds like...
Well, this part,
like,
maybe.
Intrigue and...
This part maybe, but the other part's very, I don't know, kind of somber or something. But, yeah.
Gabe, what's the track you said that you belong to? What's the name of the song, the Glenn Frey song?
We Belong to the Night.
We Belong to the Night. Yeah, it's kind of got that. I was, when it started, I thought that too, but I couldn't place what song it was. When Gabe said it, I was like, yeah. Which, it's kind of a cool, I mean, that's the same kind of, it's like, night intrigue.
I love this beginning part a lot.
Sounds like almost like 80s Euro pop kind of, or like, you know, like Tears for Fears or something. Or...
What I like is I like this sort of, I like these quarter note piano hits, you know, just dun dun dun, you know, just the steady. I like the beginning too, the intro. It's like little drummer boy or something, you know?
Yeah.
So that almost brings us to the end of the episode. For a full track listing, you can go to legacymusichour.com and you can comment there as well. You can send us an email at legacymusichour@gmail.com. You can also call and either leave a message or text at 281-SONIC-91. And you can also go to the Facebook page, which, you know, all the posts will be posted there, as well as other user discussion. And also, if you like the show, go to iTunes and review and rate it there, because... again, that helps spread the word about it, and the more reviews it has, the more it shows up on people. More it, it make it that the more easy it is for people to find the podcast. But yeah, that was our this has been our Free Play 21 episode, and with guest co-host Jacob Siroff.
Let's go, just guest. I don't want to
guest commentator. Commentator.
Rob's a very good friend, and I don't want to. I don't want to usurp his
guest commentator.
His hosting duties.
Guest commentator.
Yeah,
guest commentator.
Yeah, let's do that.
Jacob
color commentator.
Is there anything you'd like to mention for people to check out of yours or anything?
I mean, just check me out. You know, I'm out here. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just doing my thing. You know?
All right.
No, enough. I mean, if anyone's going to be in San Francisco, but then again, you're probably promoting your show in San Francisco.
I don't really promote
your stand-up.
My stand-up
then
on this podcast.
I don't want to either, then.
You know what, though? I will. I'll do it.
We got like dueling San Francisco shows.
Not dueling. People can go to both.
Yeah, true that. When's yours? The 8th or the 10th?
Mine's the 11th.
Yours the 11th?
Yours is the 9th?
Mine's the 9th.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, I don't, as you all know, I don't promote my comedy stuff, but... but you know, I have started to lately a little bit, you know. But
I'm sure listeners would just like to. They'd probably go just to talk to you afterwards.
Yeah, well, you know, Rob and I sometimes do video game music events, little things up there that are not kind of necessarily comedic. But if anybody is interested, and like I always preface this by saying that if you're a fan of the show, you might not be a fan of my comedy, and that's fine. But July 11th, I'll be at Doc's Lab. And I think there's two shows. There's an 8 and a 10.
Really?
Yeah.
You got two?
Yeah.
No, brother, only got one show.
And so just you can look that up online and find out how to get tickets. But it's Doc's Lab, July 11th. That's a Saturday. And Jacob, you have...
Same venue, July 9th.
Same venue, July 9th.
And
one show.
If you're a fan of the show, you definitely won't be a fan of my comedy. I don't know if that's true or not. If it is.
No, it's possible, but possible otherwise too.
Yeah,
anything's possible.
I don't know. Yeah, I was down not to promote. You can cut this whole thing off.
No, it's fine. Actually, let's promote. I mean, while we're at it, I might as well mention that I'll be, if there's any Dutch listeners, I'll be in Amsterdam.
Are you going to Amsterdam?
Yeah. July 29th through August 1st. So there's four shows. Toomler is the name of the venue.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it later. Anyway, if you're interested in seeing something, if you're there from that area, come out and see that.
And if you want to look at pictures of my kids, I got an Instagram.
Pictures of your
they're
kids.
They're really cute. No, there's lots of other pictures, but they're just the most exciting thing on them.
Mm-hmm. Down the line, October. I mean, look, since we're doing this, October 18th in Portland at the Doug Fir Lounge, I'll be performing comedy there as well. So anyway, October 18th, it's a little while off now. Rob lives there now.
Oh yeah, Rob lives there. Yeah, so you guys have a hangout.
All right.
I want to go to Portland and see Rob this summer.
Oh yeah.
Do people know, do your listeners know that Rob is a barber? Does he ever promote the fisticuts?
Yeah, he talks.
Because he was my barber.
Uh-huh.
So I'm actually as depressed as anybody that he moved away.
Because you don't get discounted cuts anymore?
Well, it's not discounted cuts. Well, there was, he definitely gave me a good rate, but but he was also became very good at cutting my hair. Very good at cutting hair specifically. So also, I'd like to plug Rob as a barber. If anyone lives in Portland,
uh-huh,
go get a fade from Rob. I don't know what the shop is.
A fat fade?
Yeah, I don't know where he's working right now. I know he got a job. I texted him. He said he got a job. But
yeah.
He's a really good barber. I really miss him. And yeah, the price tripled when he left. Mm-hmm. So it's a bummer for me.
So I think that's about it.
One more track though, right?
No, there's one more track to close out on, but, it's not, I wouldn't, okay, well, hold on. I'm just making sure there's anything else to, mention, but I think we covered it. Next week, of course, will be, or not next week, but next month will be the, computer game music episode.
So is that PC games?
All kinds, Commodore 64 and PC, Macintosh, you know, just stuff that we've never played computer game music on the show, and it's kind of related, obviously, so that would be the one time we do that. So that'll be next month, but I think that's about it. So let's move into the like closing thing here. Okay, to close, we're gonna be hearing from a classic Nintendo game called Wario's Woods. This is music composed by Soyo Oka and Shinobu Amayake, and we're going to hear Round Game Bomb Time. And I wouldn't say this is a particularly dancey track, you know, but it's a fun track. and it's very kind of classic Nintendo kind of style kind of track.
Yeah. It's bonk.
Yeah, it's bonk, yeah. Did you have a bonk time?
I had a bonk time, yeah. Bonks for having me. Bonk you very much.
And so anyway, that's what we're going to close out on is Wario's Woods. Round game, bomb time.
I'm going to start like bringing that bonk track to my shows and like coming on stage.
Oh, really?
That's just the beat. I've been coming up to Too Short for so long. I feel like it's time for a change.
Hey, yeah, you should actually. I totally encourage that actually.
Bonk that, huh?
So I want to thank my guest commentator, Jacob Siroff, once again.
It's S-I-R-O-F if anyone wants to. I need followers on all social media.
Okay.
Not yeah. Need, would appreciate.
J-A-
I don't need anything.
C-O-B-S-I-R-O-F.
Boom.
And our engineer is Gabe Castro. Thank you to Trevor Ames for being Studio Trevor and allowing Studio Trevor to be the place for hosting us.
And I'd like to thank Rob for all the wonderful haircuts he gave me before he left.
I think that's about it. My name is Brent Weinbach. The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening. Thank you.